McCoy headed along the corridor towards the stairs, heels clicking on the metal walkway, breath clouding out in front of him. Never changed, Bellini. Freezing in the winter, boiling in the summer. The old Victorian building was on its last legs. Wasn't built for the number of prisoners they had stuffed into it now. Three, sometimes four of them locked up in a cell made for two. No wonder the whole prison stank. The smell of overflowing slop buckets and stale sweat was so thick, it caught in the back of your throat soon as the big doors opened. Stuck to your clothes when you left. He'd been coming up here since his first weeks on the beat. Only good thing about Bellini was that it saved you going anywhere else. The whole spectrum of Glasgow's wrongdoers ended up in here. From rapists and murderers, nonces and kiddie fiddlers, to bewildered old men caught coming out of the co-op with two tins of salmon stuffed up their jumpers and their wives not long in the ground. Bellini wasn't fussy. It took them all in. He leant over the balcony rail, peered through the netting and the fog of tobacco smoke at the rec hall below. Usual crowd milling about in their denims and white plimsolls. Couple of boys whose names he couldn't remember playing ping pong. Low-level troops from the gangs in the Milton gathered round the pool table. All long hair, moustaches and borstal tattoos. One of them pointed with his cue as Jack Thompson was wheeled in front of the TV, started sniggering. A year ago, he would have been too scared to even look at someone like Thompson. Now the poor bastard had a dent in his head so deep it was visible from up here. That's what happens when someone takes a sledgehammer to each knee and then gives you a few whacks on the head for luck. Can't walk, and your brain's so scrambled, you don't even know where you are. He buttoned up his trench coat, blue in his hands. Really was fucking freezing in here. A wee fat guy stood up from the card school, looked up, nodded. Steph Andrews. Still kidding himself that no one in here knew he was a tout. McCoy dug in his pocket, took out one of the packets of Regal he'd brought with him and dropped it over the side. Steph had caught it, pocketed it, and was off before anyone even noticed. First rule of a visit to Bellini, bring fags. McCoy leant over a bit further. Still couldn't see the reason he'd come up here. Feeding time at the zoo, eh? He turned, and Tommy Mullen was leaning on the rail next to him. He took his cap off, scratched at his head. When McCoy had first started coming up to Bellini, Mullen's hair had been black. It was mostly grey now. How much longer you got now, Tommy? He asked. Three more cunting weeks, counting the days. Not sad you're going then. Joking, aren't you? Cannot fucking wait. Wife's brother's bought a wee caravan down in Girvan. Fresh air. Get the stink of this place out of my nose. What is it he wants anyway? McCoy asked. All I got was a call at the station to get up here. Mullen shrugged. Think he's gonna tell me? He took a roll up out of his baccy tin and lit up. McCoy looked over the balcony again, tried to see him in the crowd. You'll no see him down there, said Mullen. He's been moved. He's in the special unit now. McCoy let out a low whistle. The mysterious special unit. Nobody knew much about it or how it was supposed to work. Had been set up last year. Prison service is embracing the 60s far too late. McCoy remembered a news conference on the telly. A grim-faced warden sitting behind a desk, flanked by two hippie professor types. The hippies blabbering on about art therapy, positive custody, and breaking barriers. Even though it was early days, any mention of the special unit was enough to start the papers frothing at the mouth. Most of the polis too. According to them, the special unit was going to be Sodom and Gomorrah, rebuilt in the banks of the Clyde. According to the hippies, it was just a small section of the prison where top security prisoners would be treated like human beings. McCoy wasn't too bothered either way. Wasn't like the usual stuff was working anyway. Bully squads beating the fuck out of troublesome prisoners, sticking them in cages in freezing wet basements. Far as he could see, it just made those nutters worse. All the more determined to stab or batter any screw that looked at them the wrong way. Mullen and McCoy left the main building and ran across the prison yard, coats over their heads, heading for a red door in the far wall. Weather was getting worse again. Icy sleet, wind whipping leaves and rubbish across the yard.